of the last time we learned together. Hine, mash mevit adam al derech klal al zehiros hu limud Torah. That's what Rav Pinchas says in the Brisa that all of Maseches Sharm is based on, is that Torah brings one to zehiros. So we said last time that there are two different paths that help build a person in his avodas Hashem. One is through learning Torah, and one is very specifically through building whichever particular midir it is that you need to work on. And you need both. And this is what we spoke about last time, about how Torah learning gives you the energy, it gives you the empowerment that you need, it connects you back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you have the potential, but you still don't have the direction. You've filled up the car with gas and you have no idea which way to drive. Torah learning gives you power, it empowers you, but if you don't know what your midirs are, how to work on them, which direction it takes, you have no idea what to do. On the other hand, working on one's midirs without learning Torah is like knowing what you need to work on, but not having the energy to do it. You have the map, but the tank of gas is empty. You need to have both. So although he starts off by saying, the way to work on oneself and being more careful in the avodas Hashem and acquiring zehiros is through learning Torah, that's only b'derech klal. That will give you the power that you need, that will empower you to be able to do it. But you still won't have an idea of what to do or what to work on and how to do it. And therefore, as well as learning Torah, which gives you that koach, al derech prat, in a specific way, that which leads to it is ha'hisbonenus al chomer ha'avoda asher chayav bo ha'adam ve'omek adin aleh. It's contemplating the severity or the greatness of that which you have to work on and how obligated you are on it and what the consequences of it are. I'll just say one interesting point is that Rav Yisrael Salanta said that whenever you want to work on a particular topic, so the first thing you must do is to learn the halacha of that topic. So if you want to work on davening, then as well as whatever you're doing in davening, you should also take on to learn Mishneh Berurah, Hilchos Tefillah. And if you want to work on being careful about your speech, then obviously the first thing you have to do is to learn Shmiras HaLashon of the Chofetz Chaim. And if you want to learn about being more careful with other people, then you should learn Dinei Nezikin. Right? So if you want to be careful about property of other people, whatever it is that you want to work on, you must primarily learn the halachos there. And why? Why is it learning? So obviously, if you learn the halachos, you'll know what to do more. But why is it helping you with Musa? I understand why it's helping you with knowledge of what you need to do. But why is it helping encourage you in your, from a Musa perspective, that it will encourage you to do it? And I think it's because of this principle over here. That when you haven't learned the details of something, then you just kind of generalize it. You say, yeah, in general, that's what it's all about. And then you don't take it as seriously. Because it's like, oh, you have to be good. Yeah, I'm good. It's like a very broad, general description. But when you start seeing the details, and the finer details, and the finer details, you say, this is really serious. This has so many categories, and subcategories, and sub-subcategories. This is taken, one has to be very, very careful with this matter. This is something which has so many facets to it. I didn't realize. And the more you understand deeply how it's multifaceted, and it has so many elements to it, and how God and the halacha takes it seriously, and you understand the chomer ha'avoda asher chayav b'ha'adam, then not only do you technically know what to do more, but also in your soul you acquire a respect for it. You see how much work was put into it. You see how many aspects it has to it. You come and take it much more seriously. So if you would meet someone who's not religious, I remember this happened to me once when I was learning Hilchos Mikvos. And we learned Mikvos for a few months. I said, someone said to me, I met someone not religious. They said, what are you doing in yeshiva? I said, I'm learning the laws of mikveh. They go, oh, the laws of a mikveh, that's like a pool, isn't it? I said, yeah, kind of like a pool. They go, how long are you spending on that? I said, we're doing it for about 3 months.
3 months?
What? You build a pool and you put water in and then you go in. Well, what's 3 months about? I said, yeah, there's a lot of details in there. It's true that it's only one siman in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a siman with over 90 seifim. And there's a lot of details, which are many, many elements which come out of it. And it's a whole mesechta, mishnayos, and there's a lot behind it. And they couldn't get it. They couldn't, like, what is so there? Hey, come to Shul, we can learn together. You'll see there's so many elements. Oh, no, it's fine. I'll leave it to you. And you can deal with it. But, you know, you wouldn't take the law of mikveh so seriously. But when you learn it, and you see all the fine details, and you see how serious it is, and if there's a tiny crack, how the whole mikveh is possible, and if it was brought in a bucket, how the mikveh is possible, and if it flows out and flows back in, when is it possible, when is it not possible, and you understand all the ramifications of it, you begin to take it very seriously. So the first way for you to, from a Musar perspective, be more careful is to learn halacha. Because not only will you then know what to do, which obviously that will help you, because you know what to do, but also your attitude towards it will be heightened. Once you realize that it's much more significant, much more, you'll give it kavod, because it's more kaved. When it becomes heavier, it's more something which is more grounded, then you give it more respect and more honor, because you relate to it in that way.
So
there's two ways that you can build your sensitivity to this. One is by learning Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim, which is the initial element of it. But then take it further and also learn Chazal, learn the Oral Torah. You need to do both. And you need to do both. You need to see the sources of where it comes from to recognize that it's the Word of God, that it emanates from Hashem. If you only read it there, then you'll realize that it's the Word of God. And you might stand there at Kriyas HaTorah. And you'll be envisioning that when the Jews stood around Har Sinai, just like we are standing around the Bima, and when the voice of God came out, just like the voice of the Baal Korah is coming out, and said these exact words, and they heard the Word of God speaking, and I'm standing here and I'm hearing the Word of God speaking, and you acknowledge, this is the Word of Hashem coming to me. And you can be very inspired by the concept that Hashem is speaking directly to me through the Baal Korah, reading the words of Torah. So you have a greatness and a sense of a loftiness of what you're connecting to. So that's why you hear from the Torah, but you still don't know what to do so much. So you know you need to put on tefillin, but what is tefillin? How do you put it on? What are the halachos? What are the details? So then you go and learn menachos. And you start learning all the fine details of tefillin and how it works. And what one bracha, two brachas, where you put it on, when you put it on, day, night. If it's in a place of tumah, are you allowed to wear, you're not to wear, all the fine details. But if you only do that, you get caught up in the details. And it becomes more earthly. It becomes more rabbinical. It becomes more like not connected to something great. It's more like fine details. And you lose the sense of greatness of what you're doing. So you go back and you hear it being read at Kriyas HaTorah. And you play off between those two things. On the one hand, recognizing the greatness of what it is. It's the word of Hashem. I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through hearing this. And at the same time, getting, yes, involved details. Very much in the details to recognize the greatness of how you bring that lofty idea down here into this world. So therefore, the Mesillas Yesharim says the way that you do it is both by hearing the Sifrei Kodesh as well as learning the Ma'amrei Chazal Hamorim Ozik. Vehine, Yesh Behisbonenus Azeh Heros Heros Bahadraga. So now we're entering a new concept that the Mesillas Yesharim is going to bring. It's going to be the next few days, probably speaking about this, where he says that there are different categories of people. The truth is that you can be on all three categories at different points in your life. Or you can even be on all three categories in respect to different mitzvot or different categories of mitzvot. But there are three different ways that we relate to being inspired. Some people are inspired in way one. Some people are inspired in way two. Some people are inspired in way three. And the very same people, in regarding different topics, would need a different method to be inspired in a different way. So what we're discussing now is, what will motivate you? What mindset will motivate you to do Avodas Hashem and to be careful in your Avodas Hashem? And you have to know yourself which one of these is going to apply to you, but you also need to know all of them, because at different points in life, it could be different ones will apply to you. So, the three categories that we're dividing it up into are Shalmei Hadas, Pechotim Mehem, and Kol HaAman Kulo, which he defines as people who have a perfected mind, perfected outlook, let's say, and the category below that, which he doesn't give a name to, and the regular people. Those are the three categories I give, but again, I want to emphasize that you could be on all three of these levels at different points in your life or at different, in respect to different things. Shalmei Hadas. Tiye lahem ha'ara b'ma she'itbarer lahem ki rak ha'shleimus hu ha'davar ha'ra'ui she'yachamed mehem ve'lo zulad zeh. This category of people are people who are perfectionists in a healthy way. Perfection is a healthy attitude if it's not taken to an extreme. When a person is such a perfectionist that in his need for perfection, it overrides his ability to do what he's doing, then it's unhealthy. If he's trying to be a perfectionist and it makes him anxious about what he's doing, then it's unhealthy. But if a person is looking for perfection and because of that, they're not satisfied with a good job, they'll push it all the way through. Like, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I have this at home sometimes. I don't have a strength in cleaning up my house. That's not one of my strengths. But sometimes I have mercy on my wife and my children. And I clean up a little bit. And when there's a big, big, big mess, and I clean up a little bit, I don't feel any sense to clean up more. I put three things away. No, that's very good. That's more than I normally do. That's fine. I've done my part. Hopefully someone else will notice there's more mess and they'll clean up. But when there's hardly any mess, it's almost all clean, and there's three things that are there which is a mess, and I put two away, I can't leave one. Like, it's so close. It's so close to being perfectly clean. So there's this sense in me of finish the job, do a good job. And that's shleimus. Now, I don't always have that, right? And for me, it has to be I'm quite close to it to see it through. But a person who's shalmei hadas is someone who, that factor is such a motivating factor that when they want to do something, they want to do it thoroughly. They want to see a job through to the end. And they won't give up if it's a half job. They won't be satisfied with, I've done my part, or I've done well, or I've done good. They want to see something through all the way. And that doesn't cause them anxiety where they stop because it's too overwhelming and they break down. But rather, on the contrary, it helps them overcome the laziness. And it helps them think in a more deep way in order to do it in a full perspective, in a full perspective. So let me say that again. People who are Shalmei Hadas, the inspiration for them, what their motivating factor is that they clarified to themselves that nothing in this world is good unless you do it all the way. Nothing in this world is good unless you've seen it through to the end. Obviously, there's only talk about those things that you can, right? Not everything in this world you can be perfect in. But that which is in your ability to see through to the end, you see through to the end. Now, everyone's mind can only reach a certain place. But at least according to the kochos that you have, you'll see through to the end. And if you know you can do more and you have the time to do more, you'll do more. Because that's shleimus. And a person who has a sense of shleimus will want to see it through to the end. He won't be satisfied with doing a good enough job. You hear a phrase like, I did what I can. A shleimus person won't say that. Now it's true, he also will do what he can. But he won't excuse himself with the phrase, I did the best I could. He won't excuse himself. It won't be an excuse. He'll do the best he can. And he'll have a sense of, like, I reached perfection because I did the most that I could. Not as an excuse, but as a sense of godless. Like, I pushed it all the way through, as much as I could. Hu devar ha-ra'ui she'yachmad ve'lo zulat zeh. That's something which is great, and nothing lower than that. When you're learning Gemara, sometimes you get stuck. And a person who gets stuck says a phrase, tzaruch iyun. What is tzaruch iyun? Is that a patur or a chiyuv? For some people, tzaruch iyun is a patur. Tzaruch iyun. Tzaruch iyun. Tzaruch iyun, yeah, it's a tzaruch iyun. Once I've given it an entitled tzaruch iyun, that's it, I'm exempt. I said tzaruch iyun, that's enough. I said tzaruch iyun, so I can move on. Nisab, it's correct. I can say whatever I want now. It's an exemption. Some people say tzaruch iyun, and then they say, so let's think about it. Now that I've said tzaruch iyun, that means I need to la'ayen, right? That's what the word means. Tzarich la'ayen. I need to look into it more. Someone whose mindset is like, I did the best I could. This is good enough. Like, you can't, we're not angels. That's good enough. And they move on. Tzaruch iyun, they would say it as a way of an exemption. But someone who's looking for shameless, the moment they notice there's tzaruch iyun here, that it bothers them. I didn't understand it. How can I move on? Now, over here, also, you need balance, because there are some people who won't move on, and then they don't move on, and the answer is in the next three lines of the Gemara. Why didn't you read on, and you would have seen the... So for them, they have to learn balance of shleimus, meaning shleimus of the sugya. What's the best way you're going to get shleimus of the sugya? It's not to stop every moment and say, I can't move on unless I understand it. That's an unhealthy shleimus. Rather, learn how to use shleimus in a healthy way, where, how am I going to understand the Gemara the best way? I'll finish the end of the sugya, then I'll see the fullness of the sugya, and then I can really understand it fully. So you have to be careful in using shleimus. But that mindset can push a person to greatness. The she'ein ra gadol min chesaron shleimus. And they have this sense, there's nothing worse in the world than a job which is not completed. I had a friend who, he always used to start books, and then he would, like, at some point, like, give up on them. And then, like, read them until a certain place, and then, like, feel fed up of the book, and then he would, like, leave it. And then at some point, he would, like, say, I want to read a book, and he wouldn't go from that book, because he'd already given up on that one, so he would take another book and start reading it. And his mother, he saw that, and she saw this as a bad trait, and she said to him, take an oath, which probably is not a good thing, halakhically, but take an oath that the next book that you start, you're going to finish. And he said, okay, and he accepted it, and he picked up War and Peace, which is not a short book. And he really, really wanted to give up numerous times along the book. But he'd made an oath, right? And he took that oath seriously. And he finished the book, and he said it was the best thing I ever did. Because he then went on, that was when he was still in high school. He went on to yeshiva, and he knew that he had a tendency to like give up in the middle of a flow when he felt like it was a bit hard for him. But once he'd done that with War and Peace, so he knew he had it within him to push and see through. And he used that in learning. And today he's a Rosh Kollel. I know some of his stories finish like that, and it's like, well, he's a Rosh Kollel. He really is a Rosh Kollel today. Today he is a Rosh Kollel. And he told me once that he attributed to many things, but also to that. That he picked up that trait when he was in high school of, you don't finish a job half done. And he learned Shlemus. He learned that when you begin something, you see it through all the way to the end. And it's a, he acquired it. It wasn't natural to him, but he acquired it. But that's now his motivating factor. So whatever he starts, he sees through all the way. He finished us. He was in yeshiva here in Cambridge Avenue. And he did 2.5 years here. And then he took upon himself while I was in yeshiva, I'm going to learn Shas. And he started it by doing a daf a day. Not daf yomi, but his own daf a day. He did whatever the yeshiva was doing, and then he filled him with other things. And when he was 30, when he reached his 30th birthday, then he made a siyum on Shas. Because he was a person who has shlemus. He started a project, he sees it through, and that wasn't natural to him. But he acquired the middah of the Shalmei Hadas. If anyone wants to have that goal in mind, have it in mind, finishing Shas by age 30, it's a very noble thing to do. Daf a day, once you're out of the yeshiva, once you're in yeshiva now, you can like clock in mesechtas that you can, and then you're going to be in ben azmanims and in breaks and lots of things, and you do all the like not typical mesechtas that people don't normally do. And then by age 30, it's reasonable that a person can do a daf a day with about 3 years break as well. And you know, 3 years like of, you know, Shabbos is off here and there, getting married, you can give up. You say, oh no, may Shabbos das, there your marriage as well, you'll do it too. Shalmei Hadas, to see it through every single day. It might not be natural to you, but you can acquire it. Because the moment they clarify this point of shlemus, that I, when I start something, I have to see it all the way through. To be shalem, to see a project all the way. The more they clarify this point, and they know there's nothing worse in the world than not being all-rounded, perfect, having shlemus, then they notice that it's not only the end goal which has to be shalem, but also all that that leads up to it has to be shalem as well. They start looking at their character traits. They say, I don't have shlemus within me. And they say, I have this bad middah and I have that bad middah. That can't be. I wish to be an Adam shalem. And they become very noble, very upright, very ethical. I have to be a person who's whole, well-rounded. Not only to other people, not only as a show, not only in my dress, but in my inner character. And that's their motivating factor. They don't need to be told about anything external. It's they have an inner drive for perfection, an inner drive for nobility. Hamasim atovim v'amidot atovot, for them that's part of their shlemus. I need to be good because I need to be good. Well, that's what I am. I'm a person of shlemus. V'dai hu shelo yitratzu me'olam la'amit me'eile ha'emtzayim. They won't want anything lower than that, even if it's only a means to an end. They will want all the means to be authentic, to be perfect. They won't want to be maker. They won't be looking for ways out. They'll be looking to do the job the best way the job can be done because they're an authentic individual, a noble individual. They have Shalmei Hadas. Maybe everyone pause now for a second now and just think of someone you know like that. Is there anyone you know who, it could be in the Torah world, it doesn't have to be in the Torah world, but someone who you know who is a Shalmei Hadas, that everything they do thoroughly, authentically. For them, a driving factor is to have nobility, to do everything properly, see everything through to the end. Not because someone told them to, or there's any external consequence, just because that's who they are. They're looking for shlemus. Might not have reached it yet fully, but that's what their motivating factor is, looking for shlemus. And as you think of that person, you shouldn't think, I want to be that person, because you are yourself, and you have your own unique mission in this world, but you certainly can emulate that value that they have. You can say, I don't want to be them, I want to be me, but I do want to acquire within myself that same value that they have of shlemus. I can see that as something which I wish to be like as well. Shalmei Hadas. My looking for perfection. Because they know, it's very clear to them that if I'm not shalem, if I'm lacking things, if there's one trait that I haven't worked on, if there's one middah that I have which isn't perfect, if there's actions that I do that aren't in line with my persona, my vision of the perfect Jew, then... Or not even they're not perfect, but they're chalashim. Or it's like weak. That's not my strong point. That's not something which by me is a strength. Or lo b'chozek hamitzterech behem. They know they can do better in that area. They know they can perfect themselves more in that area. If they know that, they know that I won't be the best I can be. And their motivating factor is, I wish to be the best I can be in every area that I can be. Not for any external reason. Not for money, not for fame, not for honor, but because it's true. I have to be the best I can be, inherently. And they're scared. That they're going to be losing out. If they don't put in the proper effort. That's a scaring factor to them. That I won't be who I could be. I can be great. I want to be great. I want to fulfill my potential. The biggest insult to them is that you're chaser shleimut. You're not who you could be. You're not leading up to your potential. That for them is the scariest factor. The great evil for them, that concept, to not be perfect. And someone more base would come to them and say, well, who cares? Like, what are you going to, what's the consequence? Someone would say to them, what's the consequence? I won't be who I could be. And a lower person wouldn't get that. Are you going to get a fine? Are you going to get punished? What's going to happen? And they go, what's going to happen? I won't be who I am. And for them, that's a scary thought, which a lower base person wouldn't get. There's no consequence. But there is a consequence. I won't be perfect. I won't be the best I can be. They can't handle that thought. And therefore they always increase and they take on more. And they never stop worrying. Now we're reaching a dangerous area here, which I'm going to speak about more tomorrow, Be'ezat Hashem. But we're reaching an area where's the line between where this is healthy and it's encouraging and it's motivating, or where what we just read, lo yanucho v'lo yishkatu mida'aga. They never stop worrying. They never allow themselves not to worry. And that sounds like it's stepping over a line. That sounds like it's unhealthy. So this model that we've just presented now is the highest form of man's having a motivating factor. And tomorrow we'll learn how to keep it in check and make sure that it remains a healthy motivating factor and doesn't go to an unhealthy perfectionist place which holds a person back from accomplishing this very goal. Shukran. What are we doing?